Turn in our Bibles to James, and we're going to be starting with chapter 2, verse 14, picking up our study in the book of James. Took that little hiatus during the resurrection celebration, but now we're back into full swing on that. We picked it up yesterday as we were looking at James, focusing in on the royal law. Now, the royal law is actually the second half of the greatest of the commandments. If you remember, the Lord had said that there are the great commandment in the law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the royal law that James was talking about. But he only was talking about what was pertaining to us. You see, we say that we love God. I mean, that's a given. And that's what, you know, James here is going, you know, and I always wondered about why didn't he just say the whole law? You know, it seems to be the part of us to to paraphrase things, to just get out that which is necessary. But as I read the word and I see that, you know, like how the chapters and the verses, you know, in Psalm 96, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the last two verses were one sentence. And they kind of didn't make sense if you scanned them by themselves, as a lot of people like to do. They like to pull verses out of context to say, you see, this is what it says here. But, you know, what we did, we didn't even stop at a colon. It wasn't even a comma. It was just a break. There was no punctuation or anything in there. And it just went on. And it was kind of awkward when I was reading and you were reading. But if we read it together without the verse breaks, then we would say, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I see how that flows in there. Just like in a lot of the Old Testament, especially Isaiah. I love Isaiah because if you start in a chapter, it breaks, which is a natural place to do. You read a chapter, you meditate on it and that kind of thing. But you're going to read in Isaiah, you got to start a couple of verses beforehand in the last chapter to pick up the continuity of what he's talking about, especially 45. He starts like three verses ahead talking about Cyrus, and then in chapter 45, he starts to, my servant Cyrus, you know. And so if you were just breaking him off like that, you might miss the continuity of all that the Lord would have to say. So as we talk among ourselves, we'll throw out verses in there to say, hey, this is the verse that I'm weighing my opinion on here. And so James is doing the same thing, but he's doing it in a way that it presupposes that we are loving God with all of our hearts. And that gives us an open heart to receive what's being said here. If it weren't, you see, a lot of people get offended at James. They think, what a convicting book. And it should be convicting in the sense that we look at the word and then we examine ourselves to see if we're following the word. And that's, you know, I mean, that's what the word is all about. It's all about self-examination. And you can say, well, you know, Billy Graham did this. He says, well, that's fine for Billy Graham, but that has nothing to do with you. You see, you're going to rise and fall before your own master. Who is your master? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not going to say, oh, well, if Brother Billy did it, then, oh, I guess it's okay if you followed suit. No, he's not going to say that. He says, be ye Bereans. Search the scriptures. Prove whether these things to be so. It doesn't matter what somebody else is doing. Maybe the Lord called them to do that. And that's something that we really need to grab hold of. Especially in this world of do. We're a whole world of Marthas. We're all about the serving. And serving can be a good thing. I'm not trying to, you know, play that down. But serving isn't the best thing. Ooh, did he really say that? Yes, he really said that. Because Jesus said, Mary hath chosen the better part. She sat at the feet and heard the word. That's what we need to do. We need to be a church of Marys. We need to be hearing from the word, from the Lord. And he is speaking to us through the word. So, as he is talking here about faith, and he was saying, hey, this is, you know, you need to fulfill the royal law. That means that there's something, there's some action happening. You know, you say you love God, great. You love God. Then what's the proof of that? What evidence do you have to show for that? And it isn't in words. As you know, talk is cheap, as they say, and people spout a great many things, but their actions don't seem to line up with what they're talking about. You see, this is what Jesus, when Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? You know, you say you're the truth, what is truth? And truth is exactly what Jesus was, where his words and his deeds were one. There was no contradiction in what Jesus said and what he did. They were in one. And that's why he was an example to us. Because our lives are nothing but contradictions, right? We say we love God, but man, you get on that freeway and you know what's going to happen then. Huh? Anybody have that experience this morning? It seems like the Lord just brings those people and brings them right into the freeway and sets them right in front of me. Open lanes all over, but they've got to come and stand right before me. Right. I'm on my way to church and I'm preaching to God. Yeah. Yeah. So that's why a lot of people aren't here today. No. But, you know, it's these battles that come out. You know, we say one thing. We say we love God. And we say we're called according to his purpose. And what is his purpose? That he sent his only begotten son, that none should perish, but all comes to everlasting life. But we have judged that person and called him by unsavory names, of which I will not repeat here. And so we've judged them. We've condemned them because of what actions they've taken. You know, you're not watching out for me. I'm here, and you're not watching out for me. What does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? You see, what comes out is like a toothpaste tube, as I use that analogy quite a bit. You want to know what's inside somebody? Squeeze them. Put them under some pressure. What's going to come out? You take that cap off, what's going to come out? Praises and blessings? Glory unto God? Or cursings and things of that nature? See, these things happen to us so that we will examine ourselves to see whether we be in the faith or not. And the Lord shows us, you know, I put that person in front of you. I wanted to show you that you haven't quite arrived yet. As Paul says, you know, I know whom I'm apprehended by, but I have not yet apprehended that which I want, and that is to be like Christ, to live in resurrection victory. You see, we have a living faith. A living faith means that we're moving. That means that there's something to be seen. As we, you know, like a boat that goes through the water, it leaves a wake in its path, or, you know, at where it's been. And you can follow it, especially a big ship in the ocean. It churns up and, you know, it has kind of like a phosphorus trail. And you can follow it for miles. And it's something that you know, but it had some effect on the place where it had been. Just like us, where we go, in your workplace, in the supermarket, on the freeway, the situations that we find ourselves in has a purpose. There's a reason why that we're there, whether it is to be a witness or to share a word, but we're there to represent the Lord. We're there to be his ambassadors. We're the only gospel that some people will ever read. And so we need to examine ourselves to make sure that the Spirit is moving within us, to make sure that we started our day getting filled up with the Holy Spirit, praying as we roll out of the rack at 5 o'clock in the morning, saying, Oh Lord, fill me with your Spirit that I might be a witness to you. I dedicate myself to you today so that I will be glorifying you in all that I say, all that I do, all the things that I think. Now, we fall far short. I get that. But it's the thing that, hey, I haven't apprehended it yet, but I continue to strive forward. I continue to move forward to that high calling of God, as Paul would say. He had not apprehended it. He knew it. He called himself the chief of sinners. And if we're honest with ourselves, we would say the same thing. How could God use me? I'm such a failure. I'm such a sinner. Man, I need his Holy Spirit. I need him to take over my life. I need him to empower me to do those things that he wants me to do and to divest myself of myself. I need to die to myself and let him live through me. As John the Baptist would say, let him increase, but I must decrease. Less of me, more of you. So, can faith alone save? Well, this seems to be a contradiction in Ephesians. Paul says that you are saved by faith, right? By grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, you know, not of works, not of anything that you have done, but as a gift from God. There's no contradiction here, you see. The faith that we received is from God, and we are saved by grace through faith. We believe in God, and God gives us the ability. Now, that's what grace is. It's the ability. It's the empowerment. Before we were born again, we could not do righteousness. Understand that. We had no, we may have been able to see this is the right way to go, but no power to get there. No power at all to get there. We could only do sin. That's all we could do. Until we were born again of the Spirit, now we have the ability to do righteousness. We can do righteousness through the power of God that's empowering us. And we have the ability to say no unto sin. That's something that we didn't have before. We do by nature, like a fish. It's in water. And it gets its oxygen from the water. But now we're a new life. We're now mammals. We breathe air. We have to get up into the air. We live by a different set of circumstances now. It's different empowerments. Now in verse 15, he goes on. He's still bringing out. He's still riding on the royal law. He's saying, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what does it profit? What does it profit? You haven't done anything. There's no action involved in your faith. You see that there's a need, but you don't do anything about it. Now, understand that there are many good things that you can do. There are many. You can work at homeless shelters. You can work at rescue missions. And you can volunteer your time and give your money. And all of those things are really good things. But you don't have to be born again to be able to do that. And it affords you nothing if the Lord has not said for you to do that. That's one of the things that we really, you know, in our hurry-up, do kind of world, that we, well, I need to get involved. I need to get plugged in. I hear that quite a lot in churches today. Oh, get the people in, get them plugged in, so that they'll keep coming back, and they'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I think that's the wrong way to go. If the people come in, you've got to give them the word. You've got to sit them down at the feet of the Lord and let them hear the voice of the Lord. And I encourage each and every one of you, every day, every Sunday, and every Wednesday, I encourage each and every one of you to spend time before the Lord. Get into the Word. Let the Lord speak to you in that Word. As you're reading the Word, I mean, I know this has happened to everybody. Everybody that's a believer, this has happened to. As you're reading along in the Word, all of a sudden one verse just jumps out at you. Have you ever had that? And that's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to go deeper here. I want you to meditate on this. And then I'm going to lead you to some other verses that kind of coincide with this. And pretty soon, you've got, you know, these little sticky notes all over the place, or little tabs that you've been running through. You know, this led me to this, to this, to this. And it really cements your relationship. Because, first of all, you're learning the Word. Second of all, you're hearing the voice of the Master. And you're being moved by the Holy Spirit. It's all a spiritual journey. You know, commentaries are great. Don't get me wrong, but throw those commentaries to the side and let the Holy Spirit do what Jesus Christ said that the Holy Spirit was going to do. He said that the commentaries are going to teach you all things. The commentaries are going to lead you into all truth. Isn't that what Jesus said? What did he say? He said, the Holy Spirit, which will come from my Father, he, person, will lead you into all truth. And all means all. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. You know, and that's the thing. We have to allow it. Now, sometimes, you know, like when I'm studying for messages and stuff like that, I'll run across a hard passage. I'll cheat. I'll confess it right here. I'll cheat. I'll go to a commentary or something and see what they have to say. But, you know, it's kind of a difficult thing when you go to your favorite commentary and you disagree with what they have to say. I mean, you just kind of go, I don't think that's what this means. Man, now, oh man, where am I? Am I off in left field somewhere? Or maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is leading me. He wants to show me. Now you see, people that wrote these commentaries, now they either went to their commentaries or they were led by the Holy Spirit. Now this is where it really gets the rough here. Okay, because if the person that you're reading from, if you go to this commentary and they refer to another commentary and their commentary refers to another commentary, what have we done here? We've become Pharisees. That's exactly what the Pharisees said. Oh, the prophets have said, or you know, the Midrash have said, or the Talmud has said. But that's not the Word of God. The Torah is the Word of God, but they're going by the commentary. Now, the Talmud was a commentary on the Torah. And the Midrash was a commentary on the Torah, or on the Talmud. So here you've got it already twice removed over here. You've got the opinions of man interjected into the Word of God. And what did the Lord say? If you add anything to the Word of God, God will add to you the plagues that are written here in this book. Okay? Or if you refuse to teach some of the things out there, God will take away from you the treasures in heaven. That's a bad place to be. So I say, chuck the commentaries. Put them to the side. Don't throw them away, but just get them out of the way. Get you and the Word and the Holy Spirit and get into the Word and see what He would have to tell you. That's where it's at. You see? That's where it's at. That's where revival comes. And it isn't in a community. The revival happens right here. When somebody is in touch with the Holy Spirit, man, that's where revival starts to happen. And that's where the excitement starts to happen. And do we catch fire from excitement? Absolutely not. You know what it comes? Peace. That's what comes from being taught by the Spirit. Peace. Like, you know, it's like peace like a river. And people are drawn to peace. They are chaotic in their mind already. And they see somebody over here and they're at peace. Wait a minute. Either you don't know what's going on or you've got something that I need. You see? And that's, wow, yeah. I'm not running all around. I know the end. I read the back of the book. In every good textbook, the answers are always in the back of the book. So if you don't know what's going to go on, go into the book of the Revelation. We win. We that believe in Jesus Christ, we inherit the earth, just like He said. The city, the New Jerusalem, is going to come down, and that's where we're going to dwell with the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Man, that excites me. So what does that do in this? Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So, your faith will gender action. You will start to move on what it is that you believe. If you believe that this building is on fire, then you're going to be moving toward the exit. You see, it's a natural thing. But if you smell the smoke, you hear the fire alarms going off, and, I don't really believe. I don't really believe the building's on fire. I think it's just a joke that this pastor guy brought out there so that try to make his point. But if we're all moving toward the door, that means that there's action to our faith. It means we believe that this building is on fire and we're moving to safety. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Now, what James is pointing out here is it doesn't matter what you say. You can say anything you want. I've been hornswoggled by many a used car salesman. Oh, they say, oh, just driven every Sunday to church by this little old lady. People say a great many things. Well, I believe in God, but I believe this too. And if they believe something that's contrary to the Word of God, you got to ask them, well, what is it that you believe? And he throws this in there. He says, hey, the devils believe, and they tremble. You remember the devils? You remember the case of the deviled ham where the legion of angels was in this guy? And he sends he says, don't send us to the abyss right now. Send us over to this herd of swine. And so he says, go. And they went into the herd of swine. But they knew that they were going to be destroyed. They trembled. They knew who Jesus was. They knew what He was going to be there for, to put an end to all of their evil shenanigans. And they were going to be sentenced to the pit. Don't send us into the abyss before our time. So they knew, one, that there was a time that they were going to go there. And two, they knew who Jesus was that was going to send them there. So that tells us that there is a time that these things are going to be fulfilled. They believe and they tremble because they know their fate. We believe and we're just really lackadaisy about it because we really don't see the end of this. We're not really on God's timetable. And this is where spending time with the Lord is going to help you do that. If you're not spending time with the Lord, you're not going to know your end. When we meet Jesus Christ, the Lord reveals to us things that are going to come to pass. That's what He promised us. This is what the Holy Spirit is going to do. He's going to teach you all truth, but He's also going to show you things to come. What things? The end of the age. What's going to happen? And if we know what the end of the age is, now, let me just put it to you this way. You're in your kitchen. You're cleaning up your kitchen. And you thought, well, you know what? I'm going to make up my own little concoction of cleaning fluids. I'm going to take a little cup of bleach here, and I'm going to take this and that and the other thing. And all of a sudden, you see your little kid reaching for that cup of bleach because it looks like water. Are you just going to say, well, this will be a good lesson for this kid to learn not to drink bleach, right? No, you're going to jump in front. You're going to knock that kid down, and you're going to grab that bleach to make sure that he doesn't do that. That's what's going to happen to us. As we know what's going to transpire, the Lord's heart is going to become our hearts. For he does not want any to perish, but all to come to everlasting life. What's that going to spur us on to do? Well, I need to go make a placard, and I need to go out, and I need to, you know, tell people that God hates fags. And think, no, that's not what he's saying to do. He's saying that we should have the peace, that we should have that time before the Lord and get the peace that passes all understanding so that people will be drawn to the Lord. They have already, the world has these people that hate. Please, please, please don't fall into the category of hate. Fall into the category of peace and of love and of a sound mind. This is what the witness of the Lord is. This is what's going to draw people to the Lord. You see, the Lord has called everyone who will be a believer. And he, by the Holy Spirit, is going to draw those to you. And you will give testimony. Once they see the witness of your transformed life, then your words will have some kind of meaning. If they see you doing the same things as other people have done, people that don't believe have done, then what witness is that? Your life has to be transformed. But wilt thou, O man, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? That's what we really need to zero on. Faith without works is dead. Now, it isn't that we're working for our salvation. It isn't that we're, you know, that because we're doing all of these wonderful works, this is why, you know, this is our salvation. No, this is not it at all. The works are being able to say no to sin. That's what the Lord wants for us. And it's an individual. It isn't a grouping. I have heard the term, and I've even used it. We have a corporate relationship as a fellowship. We have a corporate relationship with Christ. That's so false. And if I gave you the wrong impression, because a lot of people have taken that, and they have taken it to believe that, hey, if you don't go to this church, then you're not saved. How crazy is that? You know, like God is, you know, relegated to a locality. God is, he's in eternity. He's in eternity past, eternity future, eternity present. God is not, you know, he's not subject to locale. But it's a personal relationship. I used the analogy before about the bottle in the ocean. You know, you put the cap on a bottle and you throw it in the ocean. Well, the bottle is in the ocean. We are in God. Take the cap off, and the ocean fills the bottle. So the ocean is filled. The bottle is filled with the ocean, but it's not filled with all of the ocean. And there are others that are filled with the Spirit, and we come as like-minded people, saying, "Hey, we love Jesus Christ, and we encourage one another. We see somebody doing something that's contrary to the Word of God. It's not that we're coming with a judgment finger, saying, 'Hey, don't do that. You know, you're going to go to hell if you do that.' No, we come as a loving brother and sister and saying, you know, it says in the Word that we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't be fornicating. We shouldn't be committing adultery. We shouldn't be stealing." And, you know, I mean, people have done some weird stuff, let me tell you. There was a pastor years ago. I think I've shared this story before. I guess I need to get new stories. But there was a pastor of a church up in Oakland County that was arrested for robbing 7-Elevens because tithes were down. And so to pay his bills, he would go and rob 7-Elevens. And I thought that was kind of I don't think that the Lord led him to do that. But I think that desperation would force people to do, you know, things that are contrary to the word of God. And somebody should have come up, you know, and said, hey, look, this is wrong. Sadly, it was Boys in Blue that came up and said, no, you're not supposed to do that, you know. But how we blind ourselves, you know, thinking we get so caught up in the situations at hand, we don't realize that there's a God that we serve living in a dimension that we have no capacity to understand. That miracles to him are not miracles, they're just everyday occurrences. Every time we wake up in the morning, that's a miracle. Every time that we, you know, traverse the freeways unscathed, that's a miracle, especially in this day and age. But the idea is that we place ourselves in his hands. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have bills due, but I have no money coming in. How am I going to survive? What's going to happen to me? And it just starts to get so overwhelming until we break through to another dimension, to where God is. And we sit before the Lord and allow him to work in our lives. And he's going to say, you know what? I'm going to give you an example. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down, they were thrown into the furnace. I showed up in the furnace. I showed up with them, and their bonds were the only thing that were burnt off. Their clothes were not singed. Their hair was not singed. There wasn't even the smell of smoke upon them. But there they were in the midst of the judgment of the world, unscathed because they were with the Lord. You see, that's our God. He's able, and sometimes he delights in waiting until the last possible second. So why? So that we will have that peace that passes all understanding. Are we going to panic at that time? He'll still save us. But he wants to develop that peace that passes all understanding. Going through a hard time, the loss of a loved one, maybe that's a training ground for you comforting somebody else that's going to lose a loved one, and how you're going to deal with it, and how you can come and comfort them. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now you remember Abraham. I mean, we talked about that as we were in Hebrews. We talked about Abraham quite a bit and some of the exploits. This is one of them. Remember the whole story about Abraham and Isaac. This wasn't just some arbitrary thing. God called Abraham 75 years earlier, well, not 75, probably 110 years earlier, out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? Come up, I want to take you to a land that you don't know right now and give it to you for an inheritance. He moved upriver for a while till his father died, and then he called to him again. And he led him all through that land, and he was with him throughout all that land. And then all of a sudden, 75, at 100 years old, he has a son. And God says to him, Abraham, through Isaac, your seed will be called. You see, Abraham had that promise. Through Isaac, your seed will be called. 30 years later, God calls him and says, I want you to sacrifice the son. You see, Abraham had developed such a faith in God that God's got a problem. Because he said, through Isaac, your seed would be called. Isaac's got no seed, so you're going to resurrect him from the dead because you said that I should do this and I'm going to follow through. And for 3 days, he traveled to the place. He took the knife, was getting ready to do the deed, but the angel stopped him. He says, now I know that you believe because you were willing to sacrifice your son. You see, that's what faith does. Now, nobody is going to be asking you to sacrifice your son. Okay? There was a relationship that Abraham had cultivated with the Lord. He knew the Lord's voice. He knew it was the Lord doing these things. Abraham spent time. Remember in Genesis 18, at the oaks of Mamre, when the two angels and the Lord came and visited him. And the two angels had a later date at Sodom and Gomorrah, but the Lord stayed behind. And Abraham went into ethnically characteristic, he started to haggle. Okay, what if there's 50? What if there's 10? How about, you know, would you believe 5? You know, that kind of a thing. But there was a relationship there. You just don't go in and start talking to people you don't know. And what does it say here? He was a friend of God. Jesus says, I don't call you servants anymore, but friends. We have the same relationship. Fascinating. But there's another example here. And I think maybe we fit more into this example. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Rahab. Now Rahab, she's more like us. Okay? She is way more like us because she had only heard about stories about what had happened in Egypt, about what had happened in the wilderness wandering. She had only heard those things, and yet, because she heard, she believed. But nobody else in the city believed, but she believed. So out of one, out of a city of, well, let's just say roughly, I don't know, 15,000, 20,000, maybe 30,000, 50,000, let's say, just to be conservative, one person. And so Joshua sent in two witnesses, can't call them spies because what kind of information did they receive? You know, they didn't get any kind of intel that was going to help them conquer that city, did they? You know, it was God's doing. But he sent two witnesses in, and they happened to find Rahab. I love coincidences. It's just so great, right? There's no such word as coincidence. God sent them to Rahab. Rahab received them. You see, it was all a matter of faith. The Lord spoke to her heart and said, receive these two. Receive these two into your home. And she obeyed, just like us. We receive because the Lord spoke to us. What caused you to believe in Jesus Christ? Did somebody talk you into it? I pray that that's not the case. Because if you can be talked into the kingdom, you can definitely be talked out of the kingdom. But if the Holy Spirit touches your heart and draws you through a maze of situations until you have no other choice but to surrender your life to Him, then you know it was a spiritual thing and not anything of yourself. You had no works that you were doing to be able to say that, yes, I did all of these things and now I'm worthy to receive righteousness. No. It was because the Lord called you and brought you to the place and showed you your sin and you confessed your sin and you accepted Jesus Christ's provision for sin. That's how you became born again. And that's what brought you to this place right now. So Rahab is more in us. But one thing that Rahab was is that she was in the birth line of Jesus Christ. And she's spoken of in the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, I believe, to where the mother of that Rahab, the wife of whose wife was Rahab, you know, she was mentioned in there, which is unheard of in any genealogy, especially a Jewish descent like that. But there was Tamar, and then there was Rahab, just a couple of ladies that of, how should we say, questionable repute. But Rahab, you know, I identify with Rahab because the Lord speaks to our hearts and we obey. And that's what He's given us, the Holy Spirit, to be able to obey. For as the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So we had a body and we moved in this body quite nicely. And we were able to live in this world, but we were spiritually dead. And if we are spiritually born again, but have no works of transformation, such as the Holy Spirit transforming our lives into something that was different, and I think that's the blessing of the Lord is that He gives us a history. He says, this is what I did when I was in the world. I did this, 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 and this. Now that I'm born again, I'm doing other things. Because if you can go and say, well, I'm still doing this, 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 and this, I'd have to question, are you really born again? Is there no transformation taking place? Or is the Holy Spirit not doing any work in your life? This is something that you can find out very easily. Spending time with the Lord. Is that your desire? Do you desire to see His face? Are you desiring Him to come back for you? As I put in the bulletins, Jesus Christ is coming back very soon. It's not very soon, but soon. I should put very because the time is drawing closer than it was. When I came to be a believer 30 years ago, He was coming next day. We sat around waiting for the Lord to come back. Not sat around, but you know, it was an expectancy. We didn't get caught up in the things of the world. We were waiting for the Lord to come back. I want to be ready. I want to, you know, put off the things that are keeping me here. I'm looking for, I want to see the face of the Lord, just like Moses. Lord, show me your glory. I want to see your face. Pull back the cloud. Let me see. I want to see you. But we can't see with our eyes, but we see with the heart of faith. And with the heart of faith comes transformation, because we're laying down those things that we used to do. I don't want to do those things anymore. I can say no to that sin, and I can say yes to this righteousness. We have a choice now. Righteousness, unrighteousness. Which will you choose? If there's a question, even a question, well, which one should I choose? Get before the Lord. That's the time where you need to get into your prayer closet. Just some place where, you know, what was it, Susanna Wesley, the mother of John Wesley? 17 kids. 17 kids. Can you imagine the quiet time that she had? I guess what she used to do is she used to throw the apron over her head. And when the kids saw that the apron was over the head, you don't mess with mom when she's having her quiet time with the Lord. But she knew that she needed it. And her son would talk about that too. He said, you know, that was one of the things that, you know, I knew. We all knew as kids, this was mom's quiet time with the Lord. You don't mess with her. I don't care what it is, unless you're bleeding to death, you just... But she found that time. She needed that time to be with the Lord. Folks, we need to have that time with our Savior. We need to have that time with our Lord. We need to be rejuvenated, plugged in, getting the information that we need to live these lives acceptable unto Him. We cannot say no to sin if we don't know what righteousness is. And the only way to know righteousness is to know Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we go through our lives, each and every day, we have the opportunity to pray without ceasing. I pray, Father, that you would be in the forefront of our mind and in our hearts, that our supreme desire would be to please you in all the things that we do, in all the things that we say, that every opportunity would be a way of witnessing unto you, whether it be by words or by actions. Lord, I pray that our transformed lives would speak volumes before us. Oh, Lord, we do love you, and we just thank you for your infinite mercy and your grace and the ability for us to start fresh and anew each and every moment as we confess our sin before you. Oh Lord, have your way with us, we pray. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.